Now what we've just said, what we've just emphasized in fact, is true not just of shunyata, it holds good of all the important doctrines, as we like to call them, principles, if you like, of Buddhism. They are all based on, they all ultimately issue from, the experience, originally the Buddha's experience, of enlightenment. And they all point the way in their own terms, within their own respective contexts, to our own experience of the truth they represent, which we usually designate by such words as enlightenment, nirvana, emancipation, spiritual freedom, and so on. And all these so-called doctrines, all these formulations, are all just parts of the raft. Parts of that raft of the Dharma, the purpose of which is to take us across the waters of birth and death, the flood of conditioned existence to the other shore of nirvana. And as such, as parts of the raft, they are not an end in themselves, but only a means to an end. So this we should bear in mind, in fact always bear in mind when we study Buddhism, especially with regard to this so-called doctrine or theory or philosophy, really experience of shunyata, voidness or emptiness. We should never forget that what is to be conveyed by this word, expressed by this word, or even just hinted at by this word, is essentially a mystery, and as such something to be experienced in the equal mystery of one's own personal spiritual life. Now, this sort of warning, as one may even call it, is particularly necessary in the West, because here, in this country also, our approach to Buddhism tends to be rather one-sidedly intellectual. We tend to approach Buddhism too much with our brains, not even just with our minds. So I say, just with our brains very often, not trying to feel it, not trying to experience it, but just trying to think it, to understand it in a purely, abstractly intellectual way. So when studying things like shunyata, we have to bear this in mind and try to correct that one-sidedness. As a matter of fact, we can say that that sort of one-sidedness is already being corrected to some extent. It's becoming even less and less true to say, though still true to some extent, but less and less true to say that the approach of English people to Buddhism is rather over-intellectual, because meditation, not just the theory of meditation, but the practice of meditation, in some of its forms at least, is now quite well established in this country, and we may even go so far as to say that the devotional and even the social elements are gradually also being introduced.